This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll hear why representation, role models, and equal opportunities matter in the world of science, technology, engineering, arts, and maths. YouTube's global head of health will be with me to explain new parental controls available on Google Family Link. And as ever, I'll answer your tech questions. If you want to get in touch, you can do so right now. Drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. Later in the show, we'll hear from the Irish innovator who went from working at Dyson to creating a wearable to help menopausal women with their hot flushes. But I want to start this week's show with something a little bit different. Now, I spent most of the last week hosting 14 transition year students here in News Talk as part of our TY Media Week. All of them are, I have no doubt, future stars, and I've loved every single second of it. But I spent a fair bit of time chatting with one of the students in particular this week over lunch, and I was instantly struck by her brilliance. And I'm delighted to say that she has agreed to come in and join me in studio now. Moya May Kelly, you are very welcome to Tech Talk. Can you just start by telling us a little bit about your story?
So my name is Moya May Kelly and I'm 16 and I am from Dublin. And I was given the privilege to be here and work on a radio show with TY students to produce a radio show. So a bit about me is I have a condition called quadruple limb cerebral palsy. So what that means, for people who don't know, don't feel bad if you don't know. Most people ask me this all the time and I don't mind answering. So it basically means that my four limbs have a lot of muscle tone. So when I was born with a lack of oxygen. So when I was born, I didn't cry like other babies cried.
Mm.
It was silent. So I don't know how long that was for, but all I know is that I have a brain injury. And so what that means is all the signals, little science lesson for everybody.
Oh, go on. We love a bit of science on this show.
Basically, it's just kind of, so cerebral palsy is, so cerebral is a part of your brain. And the word palsy is movement in Latin. So a lot of medical terms come from Latin. So basically my brain injury happened, so because of the lack of oxygen, it meant that all like the little things that go to your brain to tell your brain all the things to do. So your brain controls your hand movements, every time you open and close your eyes, you're walking, everything your body does, your brain's responsible for. But because of the lack of oxygen, my brain doesn't get those signals in terms of coordination.
Mm.
So my disability will affect my coordination, my motor skills. Coordination, motor skills, also my ability to walk. It also can affect some people's ability to talk, some people's ability to eat, some people's ability to sleep by themselves. So it really can affect everything. And when I speak about cerebral palsy, obviously it's quadruple limbs. That's the four limbs, the two legs and the two arms. But it affects every muscle in my body. So from my head to my toes, I have really high muscle tone, which makes things really hard to do.
Mm.
And so scientifically, it takes three times the more energy to move my body because of that muscle tone. So that's my condition. But a bit more on me is that, obviously I said I'm from Dublin. I love talking to people. I love to communicate. I love getting to know people and their stories and learning more about them. And I just love talking and making people laugh. It's something that I find great confidence in, is my voice. Because I think when, you know, you learn how severe disabilities can be, it makes you a lot more, it gives you something to be grateful for. I think when people talk about movement and the ability to speak, you know, people think that that's an everyday thing. Where for me, at one point, my parents were told that I wouldn't walk, I wouldn't talk, and I wouldn't live an independent life. And for some people I know, that is true. So as I've gotten older, I've learned that my voice is a privilege. The fact I can eat is a privilege. And I've had to learn that my best is good enough. And one of those things that I am good at is talking. And so I use it to advocate for people. I will always be an advocate. And I just love sharing other people's stories because I think it's important, because we need to educate ourselves, because without education, it's ignorance. And I think it's really important that our stories are as valuable as each other.
Mm.
And so to have the opportunity to bring people's stories to life is something that I would love to do.
And I was struck. So we only met on Monday morning. And again, just to paint a picture for everybody, I had 14, 15, 16 year olds in a room looking at me. And I was trying to get the conversation going about radio. And you were one of the first voices to speak up. And you fully engaged in the conversation. You had brilliant ideas. And I was really struck by when everybody was taught, well, I gave everyone the task of picking a news story to write a bit of script about, and then we'd go in and record it. And the story that you picked was the relaunch of Poor, the play based on the best-selling book by Katrina O'Sullivan, Returning to the Gate Theatre. And we got talking because I know Katrina O'Sullivan. Katrina's been on this programme in the past. She has been vital in the success of the STEM Passport program, which I know you've taken part in.
Yep.
But just tell me a little bit about what Katrina means to you.
Yeah, so as I said, that's my background physically, but I am in a mainstream school. And I take part in the junior cert. And when I did my junior cert, I wrote my junior cert. All the teachers, well not all, but majority had told me, don't write, you won't be able for it. But something you'll learn to know about me is I'm very stubborn and I don't let those things get in the way.
Mm.
I'm always somebody, I'd rather try and fail than not try at all. And that was always something that was put into me, because as I've gotten older, this has become a lot more prevalent, but I've always felt, you know, my life could have been a lot worse, but it's not. And so I have to make the best of it. And I have to do everything I can to use my body to the best that I can. And so because I have the ability to write, of course I wanted to write it. And like, I understand there's a lot of people in my position who can write, but chose an iPad. And by me saying that I wanted to use my body to the best of my ability and I wanted to write because if I failed, I failed, but I just wanted to use my body because I know that I could. And so I've been in mainstream education my whole life. I'm 16 now, so what is that, 11 years? And I've had cerebral palsy for the last 16. So as soon as I've been born, I've had cerebral palsy, got the brain scan when I was one. So that just gives you a bit of a picture. One and a half. So that gives you a bit of a picture. So basically, When you're in mainstream education and all your friends and all your family are able-bodied, the disability tends to melt away. And you forget how disabled you are. And so for a lot of my mainstream education, I'd felt like I failed. I really did. I felt like my best wasn't good enough. You know, I would often say to myself, you know, they'd say, write this in 10 minutes. And I'd only have a few sentences and everyone else had paragraphs. And I just felt really lazy. And the older I'd gotten, the more of a toll it took on me. Because I would give my everything, but only get so far. And that was something that I really had struggled with. And when I got into first year, it got worse. I struggled with my mental health. I was not having the best time. I was probably in school 3-4 days a week. I had severe panic attacks. I had an anxiety disorder. And in that time, because my voice was kind of the only thing that works like everybody else, that was a soul crusher because I felt like my power, my way to communicate, to advocate was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really hard for me. So then it came to the junior cert. And as I said, I'm very stubborn. I like to prove people wrong. And so when people say to me, you can't do that. You have cerebral palsy. You can't do that. It's not like anytime you put the words, you can't do that. You have cerebral palsy in front of me. You bet your life I'm going to do it anyway. And like that was the thing for me. So it said, don't write your junior cert. And I wrote my junior cert. It was very stressful. There were days where I would cry. And there were days where the work would consume me. But I wrote it. But when I'd gotten my results, bear in mind, in school, I had struggled a lot with my mental health. So I basically had done my junior cert in a year and a half, 2 years. Not the full 3. And I had a muscle condition. And I remember when I'd done my English exam. It was the first exam. I was in higher level English, by the way. That's something as well. I remember I slumped at the back of the car and I said, am I a failure? Have I failed? Is my life over? You know, and my mum was quite emotional at that. At the time, I didn't realise why. But now, as you're older and you gain perspective, you do. But I'd constantly felt like I had failed and that I wasn't good enough. And so I'd done it. And when I opened that piece of paper, and I'm saying this because there might be listeners out there who are going through a similar situation or might not be academic. I know people say, oh, results are taboo and whatever. But when I opened my results, I passed, I think, 5 out of 6 subjects.
Wow.
And the only subject I didn't pass was geography. Just letting you know, sorry to all the geography teachers, but you have Google Maps, it'll be fine.
Correct.
But, you know, and I felt so crushed. And I felt so soul crushed that I tried so hard and I didn't do it. You know, and so I love media and we wanted to be a radio presenter. So of course you look at courses and it's 400 to 500 points. I had looked at it and I just said, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. There is no way. And there's no heartbreak like wanting to do something and knowing if I could do something, if I could get my foot in that door, if I could just make somebody listen to me, I could be somebody. But because of what I couldn't do on a piece of paper, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I also wanted to do psychology because I struggle with my mental health. And psychologists are fantastic. And I mean, there is a shortage of them. And just because they don't understand how we feel does not mean make their help any less valuable. But for me, I used to always say to my mum, I just want somebody that looks like me, that makes me feel like they understand me. Because when they get out of that room, they walk out of that room.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to worry about systemic pressure or being, or the system, or because they are what the system looks for. They're smart and they're intelligent and they're physically capable. And as a teenager, that was something that I really struggled with. And so anyway, that was something I really struggled with a long time. And then fourth year came around. I didn't want to do fourth year. I'm not very social. And also, I was worried because I'm in a mainstream school, so the chances of all the trips being accessible wouldn't have been probably the most feasible thing. But my mum encouraged me and she said, just do it. Just honestly, just do it. as much as there are parts of it that I do regret, two things can be true at the same time, and I really mean that. They're part of the trips that haven't been much accessible. But this March, March 25th, we all sat in a room and the play Poor was playing. I knew nothing about Katrina O'Sullivan. Sorry, I know I'm talking about just a bit of a background
You're
on
fine.
Me. But I knew nothing about Katrina O'Sullivan. And this was us around the time we were talking about the Leaving Cert. And we're talking about LCA. Now, LCA is a Leaving Cert applied programme. It's for kids that might struggle with school or might struggle with academics to do. It's a lot more personal, a lot more practical instead of your geography and your history and whatever. And they'd said to me, academically, we think you could do it. But because of your mental health and your disability, it might be a lot. And that was also something that was really hard for me.
Mm.
And so when we watched the play and I'd listened to her story and her tell it so well, even on the screen, I felt like if she could do it, so could I. And our school has a half day on a Wednesday. And so we didn't end up seeing the whole play. And listen, I'm the one first out that door doing wheelies. I'm skipping. I'm like, get me out of here. But for the first time, I wanted to stay and I wanted to listen. So for somebody who never liked school and wanted to get the hell out of there, I was asking if I could stay to finish the rest of it. But I went home and I researched her. And let me tell you, and I'm being complete, that moment had changed my life.
Why?
I think it changed my life because I'd met somebody who had struggles. They weren't like mine, but they were struggles. Somebody who was raw and authentic and didn't beat around the bush and said, you know something, it is true. I could do something the exact same as everybody else, but I'm not going to get the same result. And the system had failed her, but in different ways. And listening to her, and I remember saying, maybe she is right. Maybe I haven't failed. Maybe I am good enough. Maybe I do deserve to be here and be in these rooms and talk to these people. Maybe I do deserve to be somebody. Maybe I can be that psychologist in that room, and how much that would mean to somebody to see me that looks like them. And so it had a really big impact on me. And I remember my liaison teacher had said, oh, Moira, does Moira really like Katrina O'Sullivan? My mom was like, she really loves Katrina. And my liaison teacher had said, she has gone through adversities like Moira. Not the same, but adversities. And she became a psychologist and she advocates for people in education. She is a part of the Leaving Cert Applied programme. She went to the school. Leaving Cert Applied would be great for Moira because English is all about talking.
Mm.
And it's something that she'd be able to do. And so because of that, I decided, okay, maybe I'll think about it. And so Katrina had taught me a lot of things. She helped me build a relationship with my body, with my mind, and I realised that my ability doesn't define my intelligence. It's impossible to stick somebody who has a disability in a room with all able-bodied kids and expect them to perform the same. Even if I did scribe the Leaving Cert, it wouldn't happen the way that it would for other kids. But she made me feel like that was okay. That my differences were part of my story, but it didn't define my story. And I just find her such an inspirational woman. You know, she didn't beat around the bush. She was honest and authentic. And seeing somebody go from wanting to be somebody, didn't know they could be, to being somebody was really inspiring to me. And also, just for reference, when I'm in school, I'm not academic, you know, because I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm probably just going to do the Leaving Cert and that's it. Maybe not even the Leaving Cert, maybe Leaving Cert Applied. And by the way, when I say Leaving Cert Applied, I'm not saying that the Leaving Cert Applied is a bad thing. It's not.
No, but you said something to me the other day and it's stuck with me since we met. And that is because we were talking about the Leaving Cert Applied. And so you're not looking down on it or
no,
saying
I'm
people
not.
Who do it wrong.
No.
But you said to me that I find it frustrating that I have to sort of accommodate and work to a system rather than the system working to me.
Yeah.
You're having to make the compromises rather than the system fitting you.
Yeah. And so Leaving Cert is a great programme and it's done so much for many individuals. And, you know, but I just, how many times can you take one for the team? You know, I had spent my whole life, 11 years in education, 16 years with disability. And I've never felt good enough. And that's quite emotional to say, but it's true. I've never sat there and said, I am good enough. And it was only till some woman decided to break the mould and stand there and raise 3 million euro for education, to stand there and do the STEM passport, to stand there and say, this is my story and I am me, to make me feel like maybe I could do it. And see, that's the thing. And I think, you know, she made me feel like I could be somebody. And so she had kind of helped me embrace my disability and embrace what made me different. It's very hard to encompass everything I feel about her. Because I think I could go on for hours.
No, but I love that you're so passionate about it. And I also think the reason that I want to have you on the show this week is to talk about, for years we heard the if she can't see it, she can't be it, and the importance of female role models, particularly in areas of STEM, so science, technology, engineering, arts and maths, or STEAM, to encompass all of those. And to see your passion, and again, you have been so vibrant, so vocal, so actively part of the group this week, that I, in the bit that I know you, wouldn't think of you as anything other than incredibly capable and probably going to be doing my job in 5 years.
Thank you. You know, but I think we all, my mom and me, always had this thing of if people don't look at you, make them look at you. And I feel like when, you know, you don't get opportunities a lot, or you get the excuse, this opportunity isn't wheelchair accessible. When you get it, you have to grab it and you have to do it well, you know. And there's been a lot of times I've been told that, oh, you know, you won't be able to do this, you won't be able to do that. So when somebody says, I can do something, it shouldn't be like this, but it's far and few between. And so it really has been a real privilege to work with these people and be involved as much as I have. And even if I don't do radio, which I think I will, but if I don't, there's opportunities like this that will never go away. And even though I've experienced a lot of heartbreak in fourth year and a lot of sad times in fourth year, this, I think, is a time that I will never forget. And just to be able to be in the room with such incredible and amazing people, and even if people aren't as vocal about their story as I am, we all have a story. We're all somebody. And just to work with people and be a part of something is so special, even if the thing we're a part of doesn't have much of an impact, you know, just being a part of something. And when you haven't really been a part of many things, when you do, it has a different meaning. And I'm just so privileged that I've gotten this. I mean, there's not a lot of kids that probably can say that they did their work experience with News Talk, but I am so glad. Like Josh, I'd worked with him a few times on other projects about disability. And
that's our Josh Crosby, our reporter, yep.
I've been on Ireland AM, you know, about my disability, but the fact when my mum reached out to him and he was like, yeah, sure, you know, the fact that somebody's seen that in me, you know, but I love advocating. I will always be an advocate. I'll always advocate, but I won't always be an advocate. I don't want that to be my job. I don't want my disability to be all I am, but I will always advocate. And so for somebody to give me an opportunity that wasn't about my disability, it was about the fact that I could talk. And that is something that is so special to me. And I actually, speaking of Katrina, I went to see Poor last night at the gate. And she came up to me and she was so lovely and so amazing. And I almost fell out of the wheelchair when I seen her. I was like, oh my goodness, she's here. You know, but she is my role model. And it just sucks. She's fantastic, but it just sucks that it's taken me so long to find a role model. And it took someone so long to, she didn't shake me by the shoulders, but to, over the internet, very parasocially, shake me over the shoulders and go, you can do this. Snap out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't sit on your bedroom floor and feel like your life is over. It's not over. You know, and it just sucks that it's taken this long to feel that by somebody. And I am so grateful that it's kids like me that she has helped and that she has shown that we can be people. I just think she's fantastic. And let me tell you something. One thing I will say is if there's anybody out here listening
mm-hmm.
who has a story and who wants to share it, please do. Even if you think that nobody's going to listen or nobody cares, trust me, people will. And if that's your story, people will resonate with it in some way. We might be embarrassed. We might think, oh, that makes us less of a person, that we couldn't do that or that, or we have failed. No, it just makes you human.
Mm.
And by being vulnerable and talking about taboo subjects, we can help a lot of people feel a lot more normal.
Yeah, that is the brilliant 16-year-old Moya May Kelly, who's been taking part in News Talk's TY Media Week. I have been so struck by her resilience and her drive. And the reason I wanted to play this interview out on this programme is because, to me, she sums up the importance of role models and representation, not only in the tech sphere, which is what Katrina O'Sullivan continues to be, but also in everyday life. And I do think conversations like this do matter. And it's something that I would like to have more of, not only on this show, but also in my personal life. And acknowledge that the system that we are working with, living with, milling around in isn't perfect, and there's always more that can be done. So I am incredibly grateful to Moya May for giving me her time. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, we're going to meet the Irish innovator looking to tackle hot flushes.
Tech Talk on News Talk
with Renault, leaders in tech, built to entertain and keep you safe. Rethink Renault.
Tech Talk Newstalk.com, as always, is the email address if you want to get in touch, or you'll get me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. My Celsius is a wearable for women who are going through the menopause, experiencing one of the most common symptoms, which is hot flushes. Angus O'Donovan is the Irish innovator behind it all, and he is with me now. Angus, you're very welcome to the show. Before we talk about the My Celsius bracelet, can you just give us a bit of the background of your own story?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm from Tullamore, County Offaly. I went to the University of Limerick and studied mechanical engineering. And upon graduating from there, I got a job at Dyson in the UK. And I spent about 4 or 5 years there working on inventing novel technologies for heating and cooling people. I then went on to work in the Formula One industry, again, sticking with the theme of cooling systems. I was designing cooling systems for Formula One cars, as well as the aerospace industry. So trying to cool down stuff in things like electric planes, which takes me to... Yeah, just before I started My Celsius with my co-founder.
It's incredible. A lot of people would be listening to just that little bit that you've told us there now, going, that is some journey from university into Dyson. How did you find the experience working somewhere like Dyson, which has such an international reputation? They are known for their innovation, their design, the functionality of their products. That must have been a brilliant learning curve.
Absolutely. To be honest, it was my dream job at university. If you ask me where I wanted to work, Dyson was one of the biggest innovators I could think of. At the time when I was working there, you know, there's a room with 1,000 engineers. And as a graduate working there, you've got unlimited resources to design, invent, prototype stuff. Like, I think they're the second biggest 3D printer in Europe. They've got these massive 3D printers, so people are just constantly creating and inventing things, and there's so much excitement all around you. So yeah, it was absolutely amazing, and the talent there is incredible to learn from the experts they have there in everything and anything. It was, yeah, really the dream job.
And so taking the leap then from the amazing experience and the amazing career you've had to date into creating a device of your own, just talk to us a little bit about where the idea came from, because obviously you've mentioned that you were working a lot with cooling technology and all the rest. So where did the little nub of idea come for the MyCelsius?
Yeah, so the idea came from my co-founder, Maxime, originally. He actually used to suffer from anxiety-related hot flushes. There are lots of different causes for hot flushes, be it stress, anxiety, or different cancer treatments, or menopausal hot flushes. But Maxime was suffering from anxiety-related hot flushes, and he met me, who had just spent my whole career working in the niche industry of cooling and inventing miniaturized cooling systems. And we decided to put our heads together to try and solve the problem. Now, as soon as we started researching it, we figured out, hang on a minute, menopausal hot flushes is the big problem here. It's massively underserved. I think only 17% of women take HRT in Ireland, so hormone replacement therapy, mm-hmm. which means there's a lot of women there suffering from hot flushes that may not have enough solutions there. So I think obviously all women will go through the menopause. It's a natural transition, but 80% of those will suffer from hot flushes, unfortunately. So all of a sudden we started conducting interviews. I remember the first lady I interviewed, it really struck a chord with me. I knew nothing about the menopause beforehand. And she told me that she was suffering from hot flushes during the night, known as night sweats. And she used to wake up so many times during the night and have to stick her head out the window to cool down that she had actually developed insomnia. So immediately there, that first interview, I was like, hang on a minute, this is kind of heartbreaking. So we dedicated all of our time to researching it more. We started working with a community of women going through the menopause. A few hundred women have been part of our, you know, constant feedback. They've helped us shape how the product should look and touch and feel. Since then we've kind of been, it took 3 years to develop. We built hundreds of prototypes and ran thousands of tests to make this product what it is today, I guess.
We've spoken about, you know, obviously enough different subsections of the tech sector over the last number of years. And one thing that's become really apparent to me is the lack of research into the femtech space and the lack of solutions for female focused solutions. And that's something that goes back for yonks, basically, based on how the medical system was designed and built and all the rest. But did you find it difficult to come by comprehensive, insightful, accurate research? And did it push you guys to conduct more of those sort of focus group type research panels yourselves?
Yeah, we really did. It was there's definitely not enough research done into menopause and hot flushes. I think it's growing nowadays, but we absolutely had to kind of get first-hand primary research ourselves. And the best way to do that is literally just sit down with people and ask them questions about their experience. I think too many products have been designed for users without actually engaging with the user enough. Like too many products have been designed, you know, for males that are getting passed on as repurposed for females as well, whereas actually women's health is an entirely bespoke thing that needs custom solutions for.
And once you started to have that research, I'm fascinated by, you know, going from the world of Dyson and F1 and all the rest to a wearable that can help with the hot flushes. What did your first prototype look like? And can you explain, and bearing in mind I'm not super technical, but just in as plain English as you can, how exactly it works?
Yeah, so your first question, I hope I don't get shot for saying this, but the first prototype looked like a prison tag, as one user said, and it did the bare minimum. It worked. It cooled your wrist, helped with the hot flushes. But the first few users were like, hang on a minute, there's no way I can wear this. You know, a woman's wrist is prime real estate. You're competing with jewelry, smartwatches. It's got to look nice. It's got to look small. So most of the 3 years was all about miniaturizing it, making it look stylish and nice, and adding, you know, customizable different color straps for fashion. So how does it work was your next question. It's a good question. So you'll probably know the underside of your wrist is one of the most temperature sensitive parts of your body. Lots of people will use their wrist to feel how warm a baby's milk bottle is, for example, because your wrist can really feel what temperature it is. It reports back to the brain very quickly and intimately about temperature. So there's a few different parts of the body that are temperature sensitive like this, but we targeted the wrist because it's accessible. People are used to wearing wearables there. So what we do is we cool down the wrist rapidly. We cool the wrist by 10 degrees in 10 seconds, and we go on to cool it by a further 10 degrees over a few minutes. And by cooling the wrist, it sends an immediate signal to the brain to remind you that you don't need to be doing a hot flush. So you don't need to be unnecessarily sweating. You don't need to be unnecessarily racing blood around your body. So it's kind of like a little trigger, a little reminder, because it's important to understand what is a hot flush in the first place. A hot flush is basically like a false signal. So your body could be completely comfortable, normal temperature in the room, and all of a sudden it receives this miscommunication that it's a million degrees in here. So what do you do when it's a million degrees in here? Your body will start sweating to try and cool down, and it'll start pumping blood around the body to try and evacuate heat. So all we're doing is we're applying some pretty immediate cold to your wrist that reminds the brain, hang on, you don't need to start sweating. You don't need to be sweating or racing blood around your body.
So that is, again, it seems so simple, but how does it cool? Because if it's something that it's a wearable, obviously you can't have, you know, a freezer bag hooked off on the back that you're dragging around behind you. So what exactly, how does it do the cooling, if that's not a ridiculously stupid question?
No, it's a very good question. So we have a thermoelectric device inside. It is a piece of patent-pending technology that we're very proud of. And it's essentially like a mini heat pump. One side of the cooling plate will get cold really quickly, and then it's all about how we manage the heat on the other side. So we basically have a really high-speed miniature fan on the inside that pumps heat away from the body and enables it to work really efficiently.
And is that something, how many cycles of it can it run, and is it something that would need to be replaced after, you know, 18 months, 2 years, or what way does the lifespan work?
So on one charge, the product does about 20 cooling sessions. The average user gets about 3 to 5 hot flushes a day, so it would last the average user 5 to 6 days before having to recharge it, and then it's a 1 hour fast charge, so you're not without it for too long. It is designed for at least 5 years, so sustainability is one of the big priorities for our company. We have designed the product as well with minimal glues involved. It's all modular components that you can screw in, screw open cases to replace stuff. And we want to, you know, repair, and God forbid if something does break in the product eventually, it's something we'd repair rather than throwing it in the bin like a lot of fast consumer electronics companies do nowadays.
It's incredible. And for something like this, you said it's patent pending. It's such a huge market, and it's such a global market as well. What are your next stages of the business now that you have something, you have it so that it looks good, it's comfortable to wear, I'm sure, at night, you're getting good feedback. Where do you go from here?
So now that we've entered the women's health market, and we've made a really big splash here that we're really proud of. And now that we're getting sales are growing, customer feedback is really, really positive. There may be a V2 of this product that will have some, you know, different features, suit different people, different lifestyles. But further than that, once we've kind of made a big impact on the women's health market, we want to use our kind of patent-pending technology in different applications as well. So we can scale it up to provide thermal comfort for anyone and everyone. So imagine different personal heating and cooling solutions. We'd like to be the leader in that market for the kind of the growing demand these days of, you know, people overheating and not having solutions at hand.
Yeah, it's remarkable. In terms of, you said that you're in the market now, what's the price point for the device?
It is available on mycelsius.com right now. We've just launched in Ireland last week. So if you go on this week, you can avail of €35 off, making the product €235. And there's it comes with the kind of blue strap you see on the website, but there's also a choice of 4 other different color straps you can buy as accessories.
The I'm sure the feedback that you get from women, because having known quite a few women who've gone through this and experienced the hot flushes, and sometimes having it being dismissed or minimized or just being told to get on with it and get yourself an ice pack, it must be rewarding to hear from women who are getting the benefit of something that sits on their wrist. They can kind of forget about it for 5 days until they have to charge it, but it is having an immediate impact on them.
It is, yeah, honestly, it makes all of the hard work and blood, sweat and tears that we've put into this startup really worth it. Just having a product out there that you've designed that people are saying is changing their lives, and it's enabling the best sleep they've had in years. And it is, it's honestly heartwarming, and we're absolutely chuffed with the reception we've got in since our launch in Ireland last week, with all of the press and the sales and the questions from customers.
Yeah, it is. It's true innovation. It's brilliant innovation, and I'm thrilled to see it. Thank you so much for your time. Again, give us the website one more time if people want to go on and have a look and contemplate buying one.
So the website is mycelsius.com, mycelsius.com. And the most important thing is there is a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you have any concerns or skepticism, I would recommend buying the product. We will give you a full refund within 30 days if you change your mind or if it's not for you.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, Angus, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm wishing you genuinely the best of luck.
Thanks so much, Jess. Thanks for having me.
Tech Talk on News Talk.
With Renault, leaders in tech, built to entertain and keep you safe. Rethink Renault.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. John and the team at Off the Ball are going to be here in just a few minutes' time. But before that, we have spoken on this programme and indeed right across News Talk over the last number of years about Google Family Link. And there is now a new feature coming to the platform that will give parents extra control. I'm delighted to say that Dr. Garth Graham, YouTube's Global Head of Health, is with me once again. Garth, you were on the show a few weeks back and you had alluded to the fact that there were more controls coming. Can you just tell me a little bit about this one, this new control in particular, and why you decided to focus in on the shorts?
So parents will be able to set whether they want their kids to view an hour, half an hour, or no short form video through the short form video feed on YouTube. And we're making it easier for parents to set it up. So we're emphasizing putting parents in the driver's seat. It's really simple for parents to set that up in terms of the short form video feed. They just click into their YouTube account, click under their kids' YouTube setting for the YouTube setting, and then go to time management, and they can see the options there in setting up the timer from 30 minutes, 15 minutes to 0 minutes in a day. So we're really giving parents the ability to control how they view, how much short form video their kids view through the short form video feed. So, you know, we spent a lot of time talking to parents. And one of the things we've learned is, you know, parents want more control over different aspects of their kids' journey. And one of those is short form video, but they also want us to, you know, continue to work to make it easier for them to access these tools, et cetera. And so in learning that, that's why, you know, we've set up this feature. But just as I should have also mentioned, we've also made it easier for parents to sign up their accounts, to set up a simpler account for their kids. So they can go in. They go into the family link and they press they go through the steps to set up their account for their kids. And then that allows them to toggle easier, Jess, between each kid. So that I have different kids' ages in my account, in my family. And so I can toggle between my 11-year-old versus my 13-year-old. So we made it simpler for parents to sign up for these kids' accounts. And then again, within these kids' accounts, they can do things like set the amount of time that they're going to be viewing short-form video.
We spoke previously about the importance of parents knowing where to find the tools to make the internet and social media and all of the platforms that bit safer. Can you just remind us how parents can set up Google Family Link for anyone who hasn't done it yet?
Yes. So to set up a Google Family Link, they can download the Google Family Link app, and then they can select, just really go in, sign in, or sign in through their Google account and go to the Family Link. They can then select add a child to create or link these Google accounts. And then on the child's device, they can go to settings and go into parental controls and just click let's do this. So it's a way to be able to link it. So it's pretty simple, just going in and selecting add a child to create the link on the parent's device. And then on the child's device, just clicking on the parental controls and tapping let's do this. And then they can follow the on-screen instructions there. So it's pretty simple to hopefully set those up.
Great stuff. Dr. Garth Graham, YouTube's Global Head of Health, thank you so much again for joining me here on News Talk. As I've said, I'm a huge advocate for the Google Family Link. I think it just works so well, so simply, and what's best of all is that it's free. So if you haven't checked it out yet, absolutely do. Right, we have a few minutes left, so I want to jump into the inbox and answer some of your tech questions. Let's have a quick look here now. First up this week, Chris got in touch on the back of the piece we did with Guaranteed Irish. I said, if there are any Irish businesses that want to shout out, get in touch. And that is what Chris has done. He said, great show. The Steve Jobs piece brought back so many memories. I still have an original and working 1984 Mac. Wow. I often bring it to Coder Dojo classes to show kids how it was, and they love it. I would love a shout out for our small Irish tech firm, SensoroPro.app. It's SensoroPro.app. That has been taking on MailChimp for more than 20 years now. All the data is stored in Ireland, which is very important for a lot of the credit unions we supply. So there you go, Chris. You have your shout out. Thank you so much for getting in touch. So again, it's sensorpro.app. Best of luck with that. Another person who was in touch was Sheila, who said, just listening to your show and you called out for local businesses to get in touch. I'm a horticulturist and flower grower based in Wicklow. I run a small artisan business growing seasonal flowers, which I dry and press to create pieces of floral art. This sounds like my dream. The website is theflowergardener.ie. I'm just opening the website here now to have a look. This literally sounds so up my alley. That is a beautiful idea. Go on to theflowergardener.ie and have a look at it. Absolutely stunning pieces. Okay, obsessed. Expect an order from me in the next few minutes, Sheila. That's so up my street. Very exciting. Let us move on to some of your tech questions now. Mary has been in touch saying, Kindle have informed me they will no longer continue to support my Kindle Fire 7, i.e. it will not allow me to buy books from May 2026. I'll have to buy a new Kindle, but difficult to know how to use the token. As an OAP, my Kindle is my lifeline for reading as I don't travel much. Is it a scam? It is not a scam, Mary, unfortunately. It is an interesting and disappointing decision, but Amazon is dropping support for Kindles that are older than 2013. So if you have a Kindle that was bought pre-2013, it'll no longer work from May 20th. So this means you won't be able to sync or download new content. You'll still be able to read content that's already on your device, but you're not going to get any software updates or anything like that, which is really disappointing. So the best thing you can do, unfortunately, is buy a new one. The standard Kindle Paperwhite is the one I would go for. It has a beautiful screen. It's now backlit, so you'll be able to read in low light or darkness. It's very similar, I imagine, to the one that you have. It might have a slightly bigger screen, which is always nice. And you'll be able to log in with your same Amazon account, so all your books that you already own will move across. But yeah, a lot of people have been on to me about this, and it is very disappointing. So unfortunately, it's I don't have a magic solution for you. It is just one of those things that is frustrating and annoying. But yeah, I hope you do get a new Kindle and you enjoy it. Right, that is it from me this week. If you've missed any of the show, you can listen back in full on the Go Loud app. Just search for Tech Talk. I'll be back with Anton Savage on Monday's News Talk Breakfast. But in the meantime, have a great weekend.
From Geico Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through Geico, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to Geico.